let's take a deep dive into Scripture with Father John Wargle and Danny Gallagher. During each episode, we'll be sharing our insights about the Bible passages presented on a related post on Father John's website, ancienthopes.org. To find the post we're discussing, go to the ancienthopes.org website and search for the title of this podcast using the search box on that page. Our discussions on this show will follow the posts listed on the ancienthopes.org website. Here are your hosts for our deep dive into Scripture today, Danny and Father John. Welcome back, listeners, to another edition of Deep Dive into Scripture. This is Danny Gallagher, and I'm in the studio with Father John Wargle. Father John?
Good morning.
Hey, how's it going? So we're going to talk today a continuation of the story of Judah.
That's right.
And is it chapter 38 in Genesis?
Yeah, chapter 38.
38
right.
Again. Okay, great. So take us in.
Well, in our last post, we talked about Judah and his descent.
Right. Yeah.
He went down from his brothers, and we noticed that that wasn't just a directional thing. It's a moral thing.
Yeah,
right?
not just going south.
Right.
Off the mountain or
right.
Whatever. Yes, okay.
Yeah. Right, right. So it's a moral descent.
Yes.
Okay, going down is a moral descent. And we've seen going down in Egypt, right?
Right, yeah.
You know, because actually Abraham went down to Egypt. He didn't want to go down there, but it's the world. It's a dangerous place. It's not a good situation, right?
Sure, yeah.
And as we shall see, Jacob himself has to go down to Egypt. And that's a big part of this whole story.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
So Judah goes down, but he goes down to the Canaanites.
Okay.
That's not a good thing.
Yeah, that's... Yeah.
Right. That's not a good thing either. Right?
Right.
And he turns toward, the word there, he went down and he turned toward a Canaanite woman and he married her.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a good thing either. We talked about that last week.
Yeah, not supposed to do that.
And he has three sons. There are... His heir, his firstborn, and another one is called Onan.
Yep.
And then finally Shelah. Okay, mm-hmm. the youngest one. Mm-hmm. Right. Heir is evil. That's all it says. He's just evil. So God kills him.
Yeah, that's bad for God there.
Yeah. That's right. You know.
And then, but that's what happens. I think. I mean, that's the thing is you do something that's against what God wants, what God specifically has said, and...
Evil has consequences when there's a God who's judging over this whole thing.
Yeah.
Right. And then there's Onan, and then he is the one who is supposed to pick up on his levirate responsibilities. We talked about that last week.
Yes, right.
Because Er's wife is Tamar,
right.
Who's a Canaanite,
yes,
basically.
And right. She didn't have any children.
She didn't have any children through heir, right?
And so the rule kind of is that the brother takes the wife and gives her and the dead brother children for as heirs.
Right, yeah. Right. I mean, it makes perfect sense, doesn't it? I mean,
yeah.
In that culture, not,
yes.
We don't do that sort of thing now, but that was the social structure to help widows.
Yeah.
And also when death comes into the family... To perpetuate
the name
of his brother. That's very important. And property stuff.
Yes.
Okay. So then Onan, you know, we talked about his crude form of birth control.
Birth control, yep.
God didn't like that either, right? So.
So guess what?
So he's gone.
Poor Onan.
Yeah, right. And so Judah is left, really, with his youngest son, who's... He promises that he will, in fact, give Tamar to him so that Tamar can raise up seed, you know, through Shelah, the youngest son. He does his levirate responsibility. Well, Judah never picks up on this.
Right.
In fact, Tamar, we mentioned, this is the poison maiden motif. There's death all around her, right?
Yeah, sure.
And so he doesn't want to lose his last son.
Right. Everybody who comes in contact with Tamar is dead.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. But as we shall see, the Canaanite is more righteous than any of these guys,
right?
So anyways, Tamar sees this is not going to work for her. So she's thinking, okay, Judah had just lost his wife. She died.
Yeah.
And she's reading between the lines and she poses as a prostitute. So she understands Judah's mind.
Yeah. She knows how to get into Judah.
Yeah, that's yeah. Right. Right. And so, you know, she has a veil and that custom, you know, and he comes by, they make a deal. I'll give you, you know, an animal from the flock.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, he doesn't have one with him.
Yeah.
And so she says, well, here, you give me your staff and your signet ring.
Mm-hmm.
And cord, evidently there's some sort of a cord that was some sort of identification type thing, right?
Yes, right.
And then you can send the to me, and then I'll return to you these personal belongings.
Mm-hmm.
They must have been pretty important.
Yeah, yeah. Clearly, like a license or something. I mean, yeah, it was identified right. Him particularly.
It identifies him, yeah. So she takes off, right? And it's very interesting that he sends the goat there or whatever it was. They called it a kid, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. And then the people in the area says, there's no prostitute around here.
Right, yeah.
What are you talking about?
She disappears.
And so disappears. So that must have gotten him thinking, what's going on here?
Right, yeah.
So anyways, this whole thing becomes kind of like a microcosm of the whole story. We talked about that, right?
Yes.
Because mm-hmm. What happens is when she's obviously pregnant, she's called before Judah, and the first thing Judah wants to do is stone her.
Sure, yeah.
For, you know, prostituting herself.
Mm-hmm.
Which shows in that culture, and a lot of, you know, cultures like they're patriarchal, you know, the men can do basically whatever they want,
sure.
Right?
Yeah, like make any decision they want, yeah.
Yeah, and the women obviously can't do that. They're mm-hmm. looked upon more like property,
yep.
Either the husband's property or the father's property or the husband's property.
Mm-hmm.
So what we have here is a matter of justice. She shows him his
ID.
Stuff,
yeah.
His ID.
Yeah.
And this is the father. And right away, he's struck. He says, you are more righteous than I am.
Mm-hmm.
Because he says he recognized his stuff.
Sure.
And upon this recognizing, there's something that happens inside of him. He realizes that he's not a righteous person.
Sure. Yeah.
That's huge.
Yeah.
It really is.
So he does wake up right then.
He wakes up.
Yeah.
And so he's the second person in the story that wakes up.
Yeah.
Okay, we had Leah who realized.
Yes, right.
This is not working for me with Jacob. So she turns to God with her fourth born, Judah,
mm-hmm.
which is
yeah,
Judah
same
here.
Same person.
In story,
I know. It,
right?
It's just amazing how it all connects together.
Yes, it's wonderful, isn't it? So there are some things here that are really, the parallels with the bigger story are just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just sort of talk them through, okay? Because this story kind of prepares us for what's going to come.
You're listening to the Deep Dive into Scripture radio show and podcast with your hosts, Danny Gallagher and Father John Wargle. The text that we're discussing can be found on the AncientHopes.org website. Then use the search box to find the post with the same title as this podcast. Let's get back to our show with Danny and Father John.
The parallels with the bigger story are just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just sort of talk them through, okay? Because this story kind of prepares us for what's going to come. Jacob and Judah are both unjust fathers.
Yeah, right.
Like father, like son.
Mm-hmm.
And Judah's trying to get away from his father, but you can't do that. You carry it with you, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Tamar suffers injustice for her brother-in-law, just as Joseph did from his brothers.
Yep.
Right?
Yep, so there's a lot of injustice there. So between Tamar's story and Joseph's story,
exactly.
That's a real parallel. Yeah.
Exactly, right. Family problems are solved through concealed identity.
Ah.
Okay, so here we have Tamar concealed as
the prostitute.
The prostitute,
yeah.
Right? And then we're going to see later on that Joseph conceals his identities and his brothers could not recognize him.
Yeah, right.
And Tamar, you know, as a prostitute, and Joseph is an Egyptian ruler, right? And then you have Tamar's life is threatened until she reveals her evidence. Well, when the brothers are in Egypt, they fear for their lives
right.
before this strange Egyptian potentate
yeah.
that they knew their lives were in his hands.
Sure, yep.
Right? So there's a lot of fear there, right?
Yeah, Joseph had the ability to make any decision he wanted.
That's right.
At that point.
Yeah. Right. It's interesting that Tamar gives birth to twins. Where have we seen that before?
Oh,
and
gosh.
It's interesting that the midwife ties a scarlet thread around the arm of one. That goes back in, right?
Uh-huh.
And so that should have been the firstborn.
Right.
And then the other one, where have you seen that sort of thing before?
Yeah, old Jacob, yeah.
Well, Jacob and Esau, right?
Esau, yeah.
And also at the end of Joseph's own children, Manasseh and Ephraim, the firstborns just never make it.
Yeah.
Right. So
right.
that's another thing.
Yeah. They don't get their inheritance or whatever. They just, even though they're the firstborn, they just don't
make it.
Succeed. Yeah.
They don't make it. Right. And then finally, both Judah and Jacob become enlightened about themselves, God and reality.
Mm-hmm. So something in their own stories wakes them up, and they have this realization, this big realization that happens to all of us, really, you know.
That's right. That's yeah. right. So we see that structure is important here. You know, last week we talked about Judah's descent, and this week in this podcast, his ascent.
Mm-hmm.
And what this does is it creates a picture, as we said before, how important structure is. It's structure. Three things you need to know: the structure, the motifs, and of course, you have the problems. And there are a lot of problems here. There are always problems. There are our friends, right?
Yeah.
And one of the problems was structure, right? Why in the world would you stick 38 here in between Joseph's ordeal?
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then picking up on that in 39, Joseph in Egypt in prison, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's not a mistake. It's not something just shoved in here.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you think, why is this here?
Right.
And so as we sort of unfold this whole story, we see, oh, I get it. They wanted a microcosm right here to not only show us and introduce us to Judah and his character and something good that happens to him,
yeah,
but also give you hope as a reader that something good might come out of this whole story after all with this crazy family.
Yeah, that's right. Because it certainly seems like nothing good can possibly come from any of this.
Right, right.
And it's also, to me, if you really step back and look at all of those parallels, it
right.
does help you to understand the Joseph story that's you know, going to continue on right after this.
Right. And I just want to say one thing about righteousness,
mm-hmm.
okay? When Judah said, she's more righteous than I, righteous can become like a theological term that we really don't know what it means.
Mm-hmm.
But in the context of this story, it's very simple, very human, and that is trustworthy.
Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it?
Yeah, sure.
Because his selfishness makes him untrustworthy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all so confusing because when we're selfish, we often don't even know we're selfish.
Yeah.
Right? Because we can't recognize it and we're not enlightened.
Right.
But when he saw Tamar and how she put her life on the line.
Yeah.
To do the right thing.
Because he didn't.
Because he didn't. It
yeah.
wasn't fulfilling his obligation.
Right.
And he was not trustworthy. He says, Tamar, you are righteous.
Mm-hmm.
You are trustworthy. And he recognizes that. And that's a beautiful thing in the story. And it tells us something about ourselves. How trustworthy are we, really, when we're so selfish, right?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
And being able to step back and recognizing that that's the truth and just that humility helps
right.
us mm-hmm. seeing ourselves a little bit better and then understanding who we really are.
That's right. And so it forces us, if we're reading well,
mm-hmm.
it forces us to see ourselves in this story.
Yeah, sure.
Am I righteous? How trustworthy am I?
How much do I do the things that God is asking me to do?
Right.
Yeah.
And that's enlightenment. That's enlightenment.
Mm-hmm. Good. That's life.
Yeah. So next time we are going to pick up on Joseph, right? But as we pick up on Joseph, we have tucked away in the back of our mind something about Judah.
Yeah, sure.
There's something about Judah that's going to emerge in this story.
Cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Well, thanks for coming in.
Okay.
See you next time on Deep Dive into Scripture. Thanks for listening. Please go to AncientHopes.org and the Books of the Bible links on that page for related posts from Father John. You can find more episodes of this show on the WSJF podcast server or on the Apple and Spotify podcast services. See you next time when we take another deep dive into Scripture. Don't forget this week to open that Bible and dive right in.